Disclaimer: House of Chaos is written for a mature audience in mind. This story deals with thematic elements and horror elements that may be triggering or disturbing for some readers. Reader discretion is strongly advised. House of Chaos, a Goofball Doodles production. Written by R.A. Carter. Edited by J. William Leeper. Audio recording by Isaac Klander. This recording uses the song Don't Forget to Feed Your Demons by Maciej Sadowski. This project is under an attribution non-commercial share-alike Creative Commons license. For more information, visit creativecommons.org. Part 1. Lessons in Chaos. Chapter 1. To Whom It May Concern. I write these entries not to warn or inform, but to process and understand what I witnessed during my time at the Temple of Agrona. If you are reading this, you likely are already aware of who I am and the influence I carry in Tifernia. However, I suppose it would be presumptuous and improper of me to detail these events without first introducing myself and providing much-needed context to anyone reading. My name is Mephisto Finalis Vulpos, head of the Vulpos noble clan, and this is the story of my greatest failure. As I'm sure you know, my clan, the Vulpos, were among the first to swear fealty to the Lukos, the clan that seized command of all demonkind and became known as the Demonic Royal Family. As a reward for their loyalty, the Vulpos were granted the honor of serving as the Lukos' hand, tasked with gathering information and eliminating the royal family's enemies, both external and internal. Always seeking to expand and maintain their influence, the Vulpos recruited and trained countless talented agents to assist in their cause over the centuries. This ancient guild of spies and assassins became known simply as the Family. From an early age, the Vulpos groomed their children to someday lead the family through tact, knowledge, and ruthless efficiency. Because, using these traits, my family has pulled the strings that tie the fabric of Tifernia together. Regardless of circumstances, we are expected to bring honor to our family, queen, and, most importantly, our goddess. So, as you can assume, failure is not a conceivable option for someone in my position. Unfortunately, I have had one failure, one that I dread the outcome of with each passing day. It pains me to admit to this failure, especially since a substantial amount of the family's time, resources, and people had gone into this blunder. On top of this, my own sense of stability had been torn away in this disaster of a mission. I even unknowingly sacrificed my heart to it. Regardless, I made the mistake, and eventually I must accept the destruction that already has, and someday will follow, because of it. As for the details of this blunder, it all began soon after I became head of the family. My father passed from a long-term ailment, leaving me in charge of our clan and guild. Becoming head of the Vulpos should have been cause for celebration. I trained for this from the first moment I could first pick up a dagger, after all. However, I barely turned 15 at the time, and suddenly found myself commanding an ancient army of spies and assassins hidden throughout every country in Eros. To say I lacked the practical experience required for such a demanding position would be an insulting understatement. However, my inexperience was not the lone source of my unease. Though I adeptly displayed confidence and certainty to the guild, I felt personally unfit to lead the family. Most of my siblings would have been better suited for the position. Surely it had to be a mistake that I, of all people, would inherit such a prestigious honor. However, through several waves of misfortune, my siblings either perished or had their birthright stolen from them. Regardless of how I became the heir to my family, and my own misgivings on the matter, I steeled myself to take the torch my father left behind. For as long as I could remember, my father worked to infiltrate and control a cult called the Sons of Agrona. Ever since the cult gained the favor of the Goddess of Chaos herself, my father believed they could become a valuable asset to the family, and sought to take them over from the inside. Unfortunately, their chaotic nature made them difficult to predict, let alone control. Which, I suppose, was to be expected of those who worship Mother Agrona. Due to the complexity of the mission, my father tried to sink his claws into the Sons of Agrona long before my birth. The mission took a grave toll on him and our guild members. We lost numerous lives and countless more resources in this pursuit. However, due to my father's grueling efforts, by the time I assumed the mantle of family head, we had a foothold within the cult. All that remained was focusing on the takeover. 2 years after my promotion, I gathered enough information to bring together a proper team to enact our plan and finally fulfill my father's long-term goal. First, I contacted the family's most seasoned informant within the Suns, a human by the name of Caspar Elderstrom. According to my father's records, Caspar and his wife, Flora Lascaris, had been the first to infiltrate the temple. Despite the son of Agrona's exclusion of women, they had close ties with their sibling cult, the Daughters of Agrona. To our dismay, however, Flora's identity was compromised, which led to the son slaughtering seemingly all of our spies from her faction of the cult. I did not know how Flora's cover was broken, or even if she survived the massacre, considering those records were lost long before I took over the guild. Needless to say, it took an egregious amount of time and resources to ensure the family could not be linked to the Daughters of Agrona. About a year after that catastrophe, the family lost track of Caspar. We assumed he either died or had gone into hiding to sever his ties with Flora and protect our interests. Fortunately, we discovered it was the latter. 13 years after his disappearance, we finally and unexpectedly received word from the human spy. In his missive, he detailed how, after the slaughter, he covered his tracks and eventually obtained a new role in the cult as the son's apprentice alchemist. For the next 7 years, he dedicated himself completely to this new role, gained his master's and the son's trust, before eventually taking the title of Master Alchemist for himself. While serving as apprentice alchemist, Caspar also witnessed the ascension of the son's current leader, Daedalus Colmenos. Daedalus joined the cult 3 years into Caspar's tenure as apprentice alchemist, and within only 4 years' time, he had progressed from acolyte to the cult's leader. Given Caspar's rank in the cult and tireless dedication to the family's cause, I thought it appropriate for him to be our primary contact in the Suns. Next, we assigned one of our best illusionists, an angelic draconic hybrid by the name of Lorjern Torash, to create a safety net of spies nestled within the cult. I was unsure of Lorjern's abilities to accomplish this mission at first, as I could find little information about his work within the family prior to this assignment. Despite this, I eventually discovered extensive records of a slave uprising the Typhon led prior to his initiation into the guild. Thus, it did not surprise me that after only a few years on the mission, he weaved our safety net within the Suns. As I followed his movements in his mission, I realized his skills as an illusionist were invaluable in recruiting members of the cult into our ranks. By manipulating the perceived realities of the Suns, many of them became more receptive to our guild's influence, and he created both loyal agents and ignorant thralls. The knowledge of his success brought me relief. To have a sizable faction of individuals loyal to the family hiding among the Sons of Agrona would be critical to our mission. That way, a coup could be easily achieved without too much attention brought upon us through excessive bloodshed. At least, that would be the ideal outcome. After getting most of our pawns in place, all we needed was a puppet to lead the cult itself. This last piece proved particularly difficult since the cult had strict specifications on who could lead them, and many of my current spies within the Sons of Agrona were unable to meet those standards. At least, from what my father's notes on the cult indicated. Apparently, the head of this church had to be a male demon with an extensive education in the religious ideologies of both the Sons and Daughters of Agrona. Not only that, this individual must have committed several grand acts of chaos to impress the goddess herself into granting him the title of Master of Suns. Given the mercurial mind of Mother Agrona, I found it laughably fitting how each requirement for her Master of Suns had varying degrees of sense to them. For instance, the Grand Acts of Chaos requirement was utter nonsense to me. I felt it was too abstract and interpretive, even for the most devout worshippers of the Chaos Goddess. Although, this could have just been my perspective as an outsider speaking. The next requirement, studying and understanding the teachings of both the Sons and Daughters of Agrona, seemed far more reasonable in comparison. Considering the capricious nature of Mother Agrona's divine domain, it stood to reason there would be multiple contradictory interpretations of her role as a deity. Therefore, in order to best serve her, it was clear to me someone who most closely represented her will would need to understand and find commonalities between these seemingly disparate interpretations. However, of all the requirements, the racial requirement made the most sense to me. After all, demons are the mortal children of the Chaos Goddess, and having any other being run such an organization, besides maybe a divine entity closely tied to her, would border on sacrilege. Regardless of my sympathizing with this requirement, it proved to be a frustrating setback to my plans nonetheless, especially upon realizing some of my father's most eligible men did not have any demonic heritage. Caspar, for instance, would have made for an almost perfect leader, if only he hadn't been born a human. But I digress. Despite this, I still needed to find someone we could groom for the task of leading the Sons of Agrona. Yet, as I looked over the prospective candidates for the role of cult leader, I found a letter that drastically changed my plans for inserting my own pawn as the head of the Sons. This letter seemed to appear from out of nowhere, mingled among the files of the boys I planned to train to take over the cult. Its ornate, thick parchment seemed curious to me, since it held a conspicuous nature that would be uncommon among the material normally used by my informants. Even stranger was the purple wax seal that held the golden parchment. It had detailed dual serpents intertwined within one another, one biting the other's tail. The sight of this image made me realize this letter came from none other than the Goddess of Chaos herself. When this occurred to me, I took a moment to look around, making sure there were no cracks in my security in the event this letter had been forged. After all, this could have been a cleverly constructed trap made by the family's enemies. With a sigh of relief that my chamber's defenses remained strong as ever, I examined the magical properties of the letter to determine if it was truly of divine origin. After careful examination, through which I exhausted numerous spell scrolls, I was taken aback by the reality that a god directly contacted me. Not just any god, mind you, but my divine mother, Mother Agrona. The very reality of it astounded me. With much reverence, as well as caution, I opened the letter and read the following message. Dear Mephisto Vulpos, I am aware of your plan to overthrow my beloved sons. Do not fret, none of my worshippers know of this. It is our little secret. In fact, the prospect of a coup excites me greatly. The current leadership within the Sons no longer amuse me, and I am in dire need of a more entertaining master for my church. Anyway, I am sure you have the perfect person ready to take the role of Master of Sons. I am looking forward to meeting your special puppet. While I yearn for the madness that will come from your little plan, this coup is not the reason why I am writing to you. No. Instead, I would like to ask for a grand favor. You see, I happen to have an actual son living at my temple. He is inexperienced in the ways of the world. The Sons of Agrona have done well in raising him, but I fear their methods have sheltered him too much. They lack the grit the real world has to offer, which won't do for any son of mine. So I thought an individual from the outside world, one closer to his age, would do him a great deal of good. As such, I would like you to train him in the ways of the Vulpos. Your family has had a magnificent record in the arts of intelligence gathering, assassination, and political manipulation, which is why I believe that you would be the best option for my son's education. Within the month, you will arrive at my temple. We will make sure that you are well accommodated for this task. If you are in need of anything, please make it known and we will have it ready when you arrive. My worshippers will spare no expense for my dear child, I can assure you. As for my son, he is well aware of who you are and what you will provide for him. I will apologize ahead of time for any rudeness he may express towards you. As I have mentioned before, he has been sheltered and his social skills need a bit of work. This is something I am confident your lessons will remedy. He is a sharp child, and given your many talents, I have faith you will have no problem teaching him. When it comes to your compensation for this task, I believe having full access to my temple and its priests should suffice. However, I suppose I could throw in a little incriminating intelligence on a few of my worshippers as a tip, if you impress me. Either way, I'm sure you will find yourself well compensated for your role in my son's education. I am looking forward to your arrival at my temple, Mephisto. Your skills will be a boon to my sweet little boy. Sincerely, Agrona, Goddess of Chaos. After reading this letter, I was in disbelief. Why would the Goddess of Chaos herself choose me to teach her child, and in the arts of espionage and assassination of all things? Even more unbelievable was the fact that none of my men had expressed any indication to me that Agrona had a child, let alone one that was being raised by her most devout cult. A demigod such as that would not have gone unnoticed. The whole situation seemed far too suspicious. Unfortunately, I was too young and flattered to have trusted the inner sense of skepticism that bubbled within me. Why wouldn't I trust my goddess, after all? Still, this feeling was pervasive, and I had to follow my usual rituals to ensure this wasn't some elaborate scheme from a very clever mortal. Honestly, it had been more out of habit than anything else. I examined the letter again, then the room, then reread the letter. Then, after combing through each word to ensure no code was weaved within it, I sighed and accepted the fact that this was a legitimate request from the goddess. It was overwhelming to consider I had been chosen by Mother Agrona to educate her holy child. Despite my noble lineage and skills as an assassin, I was still just a young mortal standing in his father's shadow. Regardless, I felt compelled to fulfill the request, especially since it gave me an opportunity to seize the Sons of Agrona with little effort. Mother Agrona was simply giving me the reins to take control of her cult, and all I had to do was teach her son to kill. If I had been any average demon, this would have been an unnerving request, considering the majority of my kind lost their instinct for such things eons ago. But the Vulpos have never been ordinary demons. With this, I happily accepted the goddess's request by writing a humble letter and asking for nothing in return for my services. Afterwards, I made a habit of visiting the local temple each day to pay homage and offer the finest of goods to Agrona and her cults. I had hoped this would not only show my eternal gratitude for her generosity, but would keep me in her good graces in case things were to go sour. Once it was time to make my way to the Temple of Agrona, I entrusted my soulmate, Lithos, to take charge of the family while I was gone, and quietly slipped onto a small supply vessel heading towards my destination, under the guise of a common sailor. Hiding in plain sight was always the more entertaining option after all, and provided the added benefit of keeping my trail discreet. The decision of leaving Lithos behind brought me great anxiety, though. Not only because his human soul satiated my primal hunger, but because he was the only person I trusted to be my backup. His ability to discern the intentions of others far outweighed my own, and to be away from him for too long made the world beneath my feet feel as if it would crumble. Still, I did not trust anyone else to take my place within the organization. If worse came to worse on the mainland, I had him, and my ability to take possession of his body as a means to extinguish any political fires. Despite my uncertainty about leaving my soulmate, the trip was peaceful. The seas were calm and the skies clear. Nothing could strike down my mood in those moments. I was to walk right into the Sons of Agrona, train the son of their goddess to become an assassin, and leave with the entire cult under my guild's control. In no time, I would have accomplished a task my father never could, and maybe would overcome my lingering doubts. I would be lying if I said my jubilation and arrogance was well hidden from the deckhands on the ship. Of course, this joy would not last, for the months that followed would quickly become the worst moments of my life. If you like this or any other Goofball Doodles project and wish to see more, please donate to us through the Donate button on www.deusballadofthegods.com.